Boy, I tell you something, that game last night was awesome. Oh my gosh. And I was so impressed with Matt Mooney. He scored 22 points. He scored three-point shots in 3 minutes in the middle of the game. Just real awesome. Such a great player. And after the game was over, he was being interviewed, and the sportscaster that was interviewing him was asking a question in relationship to the awesomeness of the game. And the first thing that he said was this: first of all, I want to give God thanks for the opportunity that I have to play this game. Now, I was pretty impressed with that. In fact, I'm always impressed by it, right? I'm always impressed by it. You know, I know that when boxers and fighters get in the ring, they do the sign of the cross, which is, Lord, help me from getting, spare me from getting beat up too bad. But I do think, you know, there's such a wonderful thing in giving God thanks. Now, I'm pretty sure that Matt Mooney gives God thanks in all circumstances. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. And that his faith and trust is in the Lord even when he loses. Matt Mooney doesn't experience persecution because of his faith. I'm sure there were some people who said, look at that religious nut, right? Oh, he thinks he's just so good or whatever. But that's not anything close to the kind of persecution that Christians around the world today experience. There are Christians in Syria. There's Christians in Pakistan. There's Christians in Africa. There's Christians in other parts of the world, Ethiopia, that experience great violence because of their faith. Give God thanks for Matt Mooney, for his testimony. That was a beautiful thing. Today, we continue on with the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's just take a look at Jesus' life. Jesus sought harm to no one. He was a person of righteousness. He was a person of obedience. He came into this world to restore a fellowship with God. He spoke of God's infinite love and God's infinite power in the world. He taught us how important it is to love God, to love others, and even to love ourselves. Now, I know that you probably don't hear that very often. Forgive me for not saying this enough, but to love ourselves is a good thing. Now, I'm not talking about spa day, okay? I'm not talking about going and getting, you know, a massage or anything like that, though I'm not against those things, right? Please don't hear Pastor Peter said, you know. No, I didn't say that. What I am saying is that it's so important to take care of yourself, how we live our lives, what we consume, the way that we practice good, healthy habits. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where the Holy Spirit dwells, as scriptures teach us. So, Jesus is teaching us to love God, to love others, and to even to love ourselves. Jesus ate with sinners. He ate and healed the sick. He invited women and children and slaves and even those that were enemies of the state to come and be a part of what he was doing. Jesus did that. Jesus had went and had ministry to the affluent as well as to those people who had influence. Jesus did not see any barriers with anybody. He always promoted the grace of God in the world, the love of God in the world. That is for everyone. He performed lots of miracles. I believe those miracles happened. You know, he turned water into wine. It's not about the wine, but about joy in our lives. Jesus did so much. And after 3 years, there were many people who did not receive his message. And there were many people that were threatened by his message. And because they were threatened by his message, because he spoke the truth, what they did is that they arrested him. They had many people bear false witness against him. And what they did with Jesus is that they arrested him and took him before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin were religious senators. That just scares me so much when I hear that. You know, they were senators, they were senators for the church and the state. You know, they were kind of both lopped on together there. Sanhedrin they were. And they accused him of blasphemy. And they also trumped up some false charges related to treason. And that's why he went to Pilate. There, when he was with Pilate, they stripped him and they whipped him and they spit upon him. And they just didn't put a crown of thorns on his head. They forced a crown of thorns on his head. Then they made him carry a cross through Jerusalem up to Calvary. And there they tied his arms and his feet because the body is not strong enough just to be nailed to a cross. You have to be tied. Your hands had to be tied to the cross and your feet tied to the cross before they put nails in there. So that's what they did. They tied him to the cross and they nailed him to the cross and they left him there to die. Many, many of his friends deserted him. In fact, one of his own disciples betrayed him. One of the people that was there at his feet was his mother Mary. His own mama saw him die. She saw him born and she saw him die before her very eyes. Not once did Jesus speak a word of anger or retribution or retaliation. In fact, what Jesus said on the cross was, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Friends, that is the Lord that we follow. That is the Lord that we follow. That is the one of whom we live after. The Lord Jesus is our example. I look over Jesus' ministry and his life on earth, and the Lord is pretty clear about something. He's clear that he's given us a mission. And the mission is the same mission that he had, which is to love ourselves and to promote the gospel, to proclaim the word. And that's what we're supposed to do. In the early church, many, many Christians suffered. Many, many Christians were persecuted. And they were persecuted for righteousness' sake. In other words, they were obedient to the cost of what it meant to share the mission of sharing God's love, loving God, loving oneself, and proclaiming the word. Again, we in America don't experience that kind of persecution, particularly in Texas, right? We don't experience that kind of persecution, but there are those in other parts of the world who do. That being said, we still have the obligation and responsibility to follow that mission, to love and to proclaim the word, even at a cost. As I was working on the sermon, I got a text from a fellow pastor, and he woke me up. His text, you know, woke me up from a nap yesterday afternoon, and he texted me and said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I was writing my sermon, and I fell asleep." And he texted me back. He said, "That's not a good sign, you know. that's not a good sign. You might need to rework that sermon." And I texted Tom back, and I said, "You're probably right. I do need to work that." But when I woke up from that nap, I was remembering a story that I want to share with you this morning. And it has to do with persecution, and it has to do with proclaiming the word. One of my favorite disciples is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote many good things. He was a Lutheran pastor and a theologian, and Adolf Hitler had him hung because he went against Adolf Hitler, and he was part of an effort to assassinate Adolf Hitler. There was another man who was part of that confessing movement in Germany during the Third Reich, and his name was Martin Niemöller. And Martin Niemöller was one of the very few people who was invited into the office of Adolf Hitler. Martin Niemöller was a Lutheran pastor as well. And for some odd reason, Adolf Hitler liked Martin Niemöller. And so whenever Martin Niemöller would come into Adolf Hitler's office, sometimes Adolf Hitler would just have a conversation with him about the weather, how life is going, what's going on in the world. And at other times, he would yell at him and berate him and just insult him while he was in his office. And during this whole time, Martin Niemöller didn't say anything. Right? Martin Niemöller didn't counter him. Of course, he was too afraid. After the war was over and it was confirmed that Adolf Hitler was dead, Martin Niemöller began to do talks around the world related to the confessing movement at that time during the Third Reich in Nazi Germany. And one time he went to Corpus Christi, and he spent the night at the home of Klaus Ross, who was the father of Karl Ross, and a good friend of mine, and many of you people might know Karl Ross and might even have had the opportunity and the pleasure to have known Klaus Ross. Klaus and Karl are mentors of mine in ministry. And so what happened is that Martin Niemöller was invited to come speak at St. John's United Methodist Church there in Corpus Christi. And one night, Carl Rofs was telling me that he was listening to Martin Niemöller and Carl Rofs have a conversation about what happened. And what Martin Niemöller said was this. He said that after Adolf Hitler died, he had a recurring nightmare. And the nightmare was this. That he would see this long tunnel, and the tunnel was a light. And in that light was fog and a figure, and that figure spoke to Martin Niemöller, and that voice was that of Adolf Hitler. And what Adolf Hitler asked Martin Niemöller was this question: why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? And that haunted Martin Niemöller, because not once during those conversations and during those times in Adolf Hitler's office did Martin Niemöller offer Adolf Hitler Christ. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We don't experience persecution. We really don't. I mean, we might get uncomfortable and we might have disagreements, but we don't experience persecution. We are given the mission. We're given the mandate. We're given the commission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is what I'm going to pray for you this week. My prayer for you this week is that God give you that opportunity to put somebody along your path where you could offer them Christ in word or in deed or both. And take it as far as you can in those brief moments that you have. Whether it's a person at the bank, whether it's a person at the checkout at the Dollar General or at Lowe's, whether it's a brief encounter with a waitress or a teacher or somebody along the street. My prayer for you this week is that God make it possible. That God give you the power and the strength and the confidence to bless somebody's life with God's love and God's word. May it be so this week for you, in Jesus' name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.